Could I have your attention, please? Assistant Secretary Kurt Campbell has arrived. We're delighted that he has agreed to speak to us this afternoon. We've had a great start to the discussion. Kurt can maybe give us some of the perspectives from the U.S. government on some of these issues. I think everybody in the room knows Assistant Secretary Kurt Campbell. He's played, along with Secretary Clinton and others, have played a key role in setting the tone of U.S. policy in the last 3 or 4 years. So, Kurt, thank you for coming, and the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Murray, and it's great to be back at CSIS and see so many friends here, and I want to thank Murray and John Hamry, the whole team here, for launching such an impressive program that takes on some of the critical challenges in Southeast Asia today. Obviously, the discussion here today is on maritime security, on issues associated with the South China Sea, but as we get started, I'd like to, if at all possible, give you a little bit of a broader context of how we see some upcoming diplomacy over the course of the next several weeks, and then I'd be pleased to take some questions. The only thing I would say is I know we have a lot of interest in issues in Northeast Asia and the like, but really the purpose of this discussion really today is about Southeast Asia developments that are going to be taking place at the ASEAN Regional Forum, and that's where our focus is primarily today as we go forward. So let me begin by saying that I think one of the questions that we dealt with and we heard a lot in 2009 was whether the United States recognized and understood that there was a drama playing out in Asia in which the United States perhaps was not as fully engaged as it might have been or it needs to be. And I think over the course of the last several years, in a very bipartisan way, building on strong commitments in Congress with military executive branch leaders, the United States has sought to step up its game in the Asian Pacific region. It's more engaged across the board in our bilateral engagements, our multilateral diplomacy, in a variety of other areas. And I think today, in comparison to the 2009 question, the 2013 question that we hear a lot more of is, can the United States sustain a higher level of commitment as we go forward in the Asian Pacific region? And I think that's an important question given some of the challenges that we face, not only the enduring challenges in terms of foreign policy and national security in the Middle East and South Asia, but also some of the challenges that we face at home. Buried in that question is a subsidiary question, which is that to many, the primary focus or onus of our engagement over the last couple of years has been on the security and on the defense side. Now, I think that is undeniably the case. That's been an important element of what we've sought to do, but it will be extremely important going forward, particularly in Southeast Asia, to underscore that our commitment to engage in, extends far beyond simply important security and defense engagements to every aspect in a sort of a multiplicity of ways, every aspect of American diplomacy, our commitment to multilateral institutions, to people-to-people engagements, particularly to trade and investment and exports, in virtually every aspect of diplomacy. So one of the things that Secretary Clinton will seek to do on this particular visit Cambodia, who is hosting the ASEAN Regional Forum, and then later this year when President Obama visits Cambodia for the East Asia Summit, is to underscore this multifaceted approach on the part of the United States. So I want to give you a little bit of a taste of that and why that's important, the things that we seek to accomplish as we go forward. So overall, what you will see over the course of the next several weeks is several stops on the part of Secretary Clinton that build on recent high-level diplomacy. I see my good colleague Joe Donovan, who went with the chairman of the Joint Chiefs on his important visit to the Philippines, Secretary Panetta's visit to Vietnam, a number of high-level strategic diplomatic engagements. Secretary Clinton seeks to build on that in a number of stops in Southeast Asia. And she'll seek to accomplish several things in Cambodia while we are there. One of the initiatives that we have worked on over the course of the last several years, and she will be bringing to the table very substantial new resources, and I cannot underscore how difficult that is in this environment, but committed to a mini-lateral institution in Southeast Asia called the Lower Mekong Initiative, which is an attempt to address really the very pressing challenges of one of the world's great rivers and to work with a whole host of countries in the Asian Pacific region on ways to sustain and, first of all, understand some of the challenges that climate change, overfishing, agriculture have brought, damming, but to look at how we can sustain one of the great rivers. The Secretary will meet with not only the Lower Mekong Initiative partners, but also friends of the Lower Mekong, a number of countries involved, and also bringing to table other groups, philanthropies, public-private partnerships of the like that are committed to this overall institution. Part of the effort this year that's important will be in involving in a formal way Burma. One of the things that we will be seeking to do over the course of the next several weeks is to be quite clear about the path that we will take in terms of the easing of our sanctions. We want to create a capacity for substantial American investment and involvement in the country. We want to put our lot squarely behind the reform effort and make very clear, as Secretary Clinton has said, that Burma for American businesses will be open for business, and we will do it in a responsible way. And the Secretary will be rolling out some specific initiatives when she visits Southeast Asia in the next few weeks. And I must say, in this capacity, so many people have been helpful for us. Our ASEAN friends have guided us, have given us very good suggestions and advice behind the scenes. In addition to these initiatives, I must say that one of the things that we hear again and again and again is as important as the TPP is, as important as the Korea Free Trade Agreement is, it's going to be critical for the United States to lay out some specific economic initiatives that will be aimed at Southeast Asia and that will also highlight a substantial American commitment to business. So Secretary Clinton, the day after her stop at the ASEAN Regional Forum, will be taking the largest ever business group from the United States to Siem Reap to meet with comparable business leaders from ASEAN, other parts of Asia, in which we will explore ways to expand American economic and commercial engagement in Southeast Asia. We're excited about this. A number of ministers, a few leaders from Southeast Asia will also be participating. This is a part of an effort to underscore our belief that we can do much more in terms of our economic engagement in Southeast Asia going forward. Clearly, within this larger pattern of multilateral engagement, and again, I just want to underscore that a strong ASEAN and a commitment to these institutions is critical going forward. Now, many will say, well, look, the institutions are generally still weak, they're developing. That is true, but this is an incredibly important time where an American role in these institutions can be very substantial. And so you will see us deeply engaged in these capacities going forward. We're also seeking to strengthen many of our bilateral engagements. And I think you see that across the board. I just came this morning from a set of discussions that we're having with our friends from Laos. Secretary Clinton is looking at a visit there. This is part of our comprehensive dialogue with that country in which we explore ways in which we can build our bilateral relationship going forward. But clearly, the relationship with the Philippines, I would say quite directly that we are in the midst of a renaissance in that relationship. I think for too long we did not focus enough on that relationship. We had a very successful visit from President Aquino. He is tackling corruption in his country in a way that we have not seen in over a generation. We are seeking to support that effort to increase our business interaction, to support very substantial growth, and to diversify our engagement to include capacity building and other aspects of strategic dialogue. Again, I will say for the last 20 years or so, we've had periodic engagements, but this is one of the best governments we've seen in decades. We want to support that government, and we are deeply engaged in that process going forward. We've also seen high-level diplomacy and military engagement, most recently with Vietnam. We're working closely with Malaysia. We have a very good partnership. I see Ambassador Dino here with Indonesia. Across the board, Singapore to Burma to Malaysia to Cambodia, we're seeking to strengthen our bilateral engagements. Now, one of the things that we are struck with when we look at sort of the diplomatic calendar, it is undeniably clear that what drives the time and attention of our senior leaders is the calendar. And most of that calendar, even at this stage, is involved with a number of critical and important European engagements, the NAC, a whole host of meetings that essentially weave together the transatlantic partnership between the United States and Europe. For decades, it was the view, I think, in the United States that the absence of maybe some of these more structured dialogues and engagements suited our interests, that we were able to come and go, engage, we were not tied down. I think it would be our view that it is in the interest of the United States to have more regularized engagements, despite the long travel, despite the burden sometimes that places on the time of senior officials. But these institutions, these regular meetings, tend to drive the process inside government, and they turn out to be extraordinarily important. So 4 or 5 years ago, we had a few high-level engagements with Japan, with Australia, with Korea, but remarkably little else. Of course, we had our engagements with China, and those were thriving, but what we did not have throughout Southeast Asia and with other countries are these kinds of regular strategic engagements, and we have sought to do that with every country in Southeast Asia. Now, the question will be, frankly, can they be sustained? Can you maintain this level of commitment? But I will tell you, from my experience, it will be essential, and that will be one of the ways in which ASEAN and Asian friends make judgments about whether we are serious. And it is not so much whether we come to these meetings with extravagant new ideas and wonderfully creative new programs, but are we showing up and are we prepared to listen? And that's, in fact, about 90% of what it's going to be take to be effective in the arena going forward. In addition to these bilateral engagements, there are a number of other things that we've planned for the ASEAN Regional Forum event. Lady Ashton from the EU will be there. My colleague, Nirav Patel, is in Europe today. We are negotiating with Europe, with the EU, a set of engagements which will bring much more substantive dialogue to the EU and the United States on Asia. If you look at everything that the United States has done of consequence over the last 30 or 40 years, whether it's in the Balkans or more recently in Afghanistan or Pakistan, it has involved a close partnership between the United States and Europe. One of the areas that is dramatically lacking, in which there's remarkably little discussion or strategic engagement between Europe and the United States, is on Asia. And so what we are seeking to do, first at the ASEAN Regional Forum and then subsequently later, is to expand our dialogue and our discussion with our colleagues in Europe about all aspects of developments in Asia in terms of political dynamics, opportunities in terms of economics, and common challenges and problems that we together face. Now, in addition to all these issues, one of the things that is going to be most important for us at the ASEAN Regional Forum is to make clear, particularly to colleagues in ASEAN, that we are committed to a strong, stable, durable relationship with China. And so one of the things that Secretary Clinton and Foreign Minister Yang will be rolling out are some specific initiatives that we have worked on over a period of years on capacity building, humanitarian disaster relief, issues associated with wildlife protection, issues in the Pacific, where the United States and China are going to commit very clearly to areas of common engagement and cooperation. This is a very important message to send because I think too often in ASEAN there's a concern that that Southeast Asia or other parts of Asia will become some area of dangerous strategic competition between the United States and China. It is our determination, strong determination, to make clear that we want to work with China. We will have areas of difference. We will have areas where we will naturally compete, but it will be important to send a very clear message, in addition to building stronger relations with other countries in Asia, that we want to build a strong, durable partnership with China that works together for all of us to promote prosperity and peace in Southeast Asia. And you will see more of that as we go forward. I will say that we recognize that some of the looming challenges exist in the South China Sea. And what we have seen of late has been an increase in diplomacy between ASEAN and China about aspects associated with a potential code of conduct. We are looking forward to being briefed on those developments when we arrive in Cambodia, and we support that process of diplomacy that is underway now. Now, I think you've seen clearly, beginning in 2010, and continue in Vietnam and continuing last year in Bali, the United States has in each time laid out a very clear, very precise set of objectives with regard to the South China Sea. We've sought to be very consistent, very principles-based in our approach. We will not take a position on territorial disputes. We very clearly, both publicly and in our private diplomacy, oppose force, the use of force or coercion. We have a very strong national interest in the freedom of navigation. We seek a larger peace and stability, which we believe is in the interest not only of the United States and other trading partners that rely upon the sea lines of communication that run through the South China Sea, but to all the players involved. And we believe that fundamentally going forward, that all approaches must be based clearly on international law. And we also seek an unimpeded lawful commerce. We have seen recent challenges. I will simply say that we support a peaceful process. I will tell you that I think behind the scenes we've seen some recent diplomacy that is hopeful. I must commend our colleagues in the Philippines, who I think are working hard to ensure that peace and stability prevails. I think with that, I'd be happy to take questions, comments, or observations along the lines that Murray has laid out.
Do you want to recognize me, or do you want me?
Why don't you do it for me, if that's right.
Rusher, wait for the microphone, and then please introduce yourself.
Yes, my name is Eric Lachica with the U.S. Filipinos for Good Governance Advocacy Group. I'd like to, one of the speakers earlier on the panel said that the U.S. government has what they call is supporting the Mutual Defense Treaty just on rhetorical terms. Could you clarify whether there is a clear policy of supporting the U.S.-Philippine Mutual Defense Treaty in light of the situation?
Look, I think, you know, it's very clear. The president underscored our strong support of the Philippines. We laid out clearly when the president visited a number of areas that we're going to be working together. I know that you appreciate that the United States recently provided another cutter to the Philippines. We want to assist them in the building of capacity. We also believe that there will be future appropriate engagements between the United States and the Philippines that will improve our mutual capacities, and we believe our relationship and the security treaty between us is very strong. Hey, Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie Glazer, CSIS. Thanks so much for coming today. We were talking in the first panel this morning. Several of the speakers expressed concern that this code of conduct could, in the end, be little more than the 2002 Declaration on the Conduct of Parties in the South China Sea. And, of course, Secretary of Defense Panetta, I was out at the Shangri-La Dialogue, and he spoke a little bit about what we'd like to see, what the U.S. would like to see in a code of conduct. The need, for example, for dispute settlement mechanisms and to have it be a binding document. There's been some reporting about a non-paper that was presented in Phnom Penh, and I know you've given some thought to what principles you think should be included in a code of conduct. So I wonder if you could speak to that a little bit. What are the kinds of mechanisms, content in the code of conduct that you think needs to be included? Thank you.
Thank you, Bonnie. I don't think I can expand much beyond, I think, what Secretary Panetta very helpfully laid out in terms of some of the things that we would like to see in a code of conduct. But I must say that we believe that the process where this is being discussed diplomatically, this is the right place for this kind of interaction. And ultimately, it is the parties involved that must make the ultimate decisions about what is appropriate, what is what can be effectively negotiated between the various parties. We have heard that there is this non-paper. We have not yet been briefed on it. I think that's one of the reasons that we're looking forward to getting to Cambodia to sit down. I will say that we are, frankly, impressed with the level of focus that particularly ASEAN has given to this. And I think we all recognize the challenges involved in this. These are longstanding issues. They are fraught with difficulty. They spur nationalist sentiment across the region as a whole, and it is extraordinarily important to deal with them with great delicacy. And I think that's one of the overriding messages that the United States seeks to send.
Thank you. You are talking about international law of the U.S. in the South China Sea. Which international law you talk about? Because U.S. is not a party to the Law of the Sea Convention.
Yeah. It is a, and you know, if this was one of those, you know, when you walk into the store and the sirens go off and say, "Congratulations, you're the 10,000th person that's shopped in this store. So, sir, you are now the 10,000th person who's mentioned to me that we are not a signatory of the lawsuit." Because I wasn't aware of it until now. So thank you for that. I do believe the Law of the Sea is a remarkable institution. I think, as you know, it's being debated now on Capitol Hill. There's a lot of discussion. Secretary Clinton made, I think, some important statements about it when she testified 3 weeks ago. It is has served as a framework for very important interactions, not just in the South China Sea region, but frankly, a host of other issues in the maritime space. And so I take your point, and I appreciate it, and you can pick up your prize later as you as you leave. That's just a joke, sir. I don't mean it, sir. Thanks.
Marvin?
That's all right. Thank you, Marvin. You're very patient.
Thanks, thanks, Kurt. Marvin Ott, Johns Hopkins. Our favorite area, the South China Sea. Can you provide any sort of a recent thinking or sort of refined thinking about U.S. policy toward the EEZs for the littoral states like Vietnam, for example, which are going to be subject to increased pressure for drilling and exploration and all of that? And what is the U.S. sort of refined position with regard to that kind of activity and the kind of incidents both of us can imagine occurring as those efforts go forward?
I think the best response I can give to that very specific question is I think we recognize that there are a number of issues that are as yet unresolved and that will likely be unresolved into the future. And that in that set of circumstance, it requires substantial dialogue, a degree of transparency in terms of actions, more interaction and engagement in international fora, and then applicability of a larger set of legal standards as exemplified in the law of the sea. Beyond that, I think it's clear that the United States has some specific goals that I laid out at the outset, and I think those will tend to be our guiding approach. But on some of the specifics that you have rightly laid out, it will be the subject of, frankly, continuing diplomacy going forward. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Nice to see you.
I'm Tom Reckford with the World Affairs Council and the Malaysia America Society. You talked quite rightly about the importance of showing up at meetings and other events in Southeast Asia. President Clinton had a terrific visit to Indonesia for the East Asia Summit and other meetings last year.
I think you meant President Obama, but that's...
Yeah. I'm sorry. Sorry. Secretary Clinton has also gone to lots of meetings and been terrifically helpful.
Yeah.
Boy, this is embarrassing.
Good work on that, Tom. That's good.
Is there consideration underway for President Obama to visit other countries in Southeast Asia in his next trip or two, including Malaysia, the Philippines, and Thailand?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think I think it would be fair to say that he's got some pretty busy things over the course of the next couple of months. But it's a long way to travel. This is obviously a White House decision, and all I can tell you, we've heard a lot of good suggestions of places where he might like to visit. And I will also just tell you from my experience, one of the things that is always striking, when you look at the history of presidents visiting Secretary of State, some of these places, some of the pictures are old black and white pictures from the 1960s, the 1950s. I think it'll be good when we have a few more modern pictures in some of these places. Yeah. Yeah, you. Here comes the microphone.
Thank you. Xue Li from China, Chinese Academy of Social Sciences. You know, the Secretary of the State, Hillary Clinton, say South China Sea is related to the United States national interest. But you know, the national interest include a lot of things, which if we cut in the different level according to its importance, first, it's a critical national interest, like a heart for the man. And then the second one, important national interest, just like the hand or arms for a human. Third, general national interest, just like a finger for a human being. Do you think which kind of the levels it is? Is a finger or leg or heart? Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. Can I introduce you to the gentleman, the award winner here, who? These, when you go to assistant secretary school, these are the kinds of questions they teach you not to answer. Just so you, I think the secretary's statement speaks for herself, and I will say we think it's very important on the part of the United States that we make sure that we have very close continuing dialogue with all the players, and that's what we are doing, both behind the scenes and in multilateral venues. And that's what we will continue to do going forward.
Chris? Thanks. Chris Nelson, Nelson Report. Thanks, Kurt. Great talk, as always. I was afraid you might be tempted to a gynecological discussion with that. So thank God. I wanted to follow on Marvinot's really, really important question. If you'd had time, which of course you don't in this job, to listen to the first panel. It's fascinating because our two professor friends were very pessimistic about the likely useful outcome of what's going on now within ASEAN trying to get the code of conduct. They're very worried there's simply going to be more of the same and it ain't going to work. Our Chinese friends, if I understood them correctly, sidestepped whether it be useful or not, but they said they wanted to be in on it. Whereas the discussion this morning was the ASEAN has to get its act together first, then collectively or individually they can approach the Chinese, Chinese can approach them. Is it too early to ask you a question like, if the U.S. is looking at that, would you agree the ASEANs need to figure this one out first and then bring in the Chinese, or do you think the Chinese should be part of the whole process right from the start? Thanks.
Look, in everything that we seek in terms of enhanced American diplomatic engagement, more focus on a whole host of issues, a degree of not only ASEAN centrality, but cooperation on critical issues is going to be important. I think one of the things that we've seen in recent years, and some of this, frankly, is uncomfortable for the participants, is that in the ASEAN regional forum, real issues are debated and discussed in ways that require countries to take positions and to speak out and stake out particulars. We think this is a healthy process. And I would say on this, on many other issues, we believe a degree of ASEAN cohesion assists in the resolution of pressing challenges.
Any questions over here? Sir?
Hi, my name is Haipei Xu with the Phoenix TV. In your concluding sentence just now, you went out of your way to commend and appreciate the Philippine government's efforts in peacefully solving the conflict there in South China Sea. And we heard that from the administration officials several times before. Does that conspicuously leave out the other party in this conflict, which is China, of course? And does that imply that China has not done so peacefully in contributing to that end?
I would simply say, as many others have stated, is in the interest of the United States, and frankly, we believe all the players, to see a de-escalation, calming process play out. We are heartened by new lines of communication and dialogue that have emerged between Manila and Beijing in recent days. We think these have enormous potential. We see in increasing dialogue, and we support that process. And we believe that both sides understand the importance of a strong relationship, and that we're heading clearly into the ASEAN Regional Forum. And I think that there is a desire to make sure that effective progress takes place.
Thank you. I am Jin Ling Wen, Voice of Vietnamese Americans.
Nice to see you. Thank you.
Thank you. I congratulate you for the diplomacy way that you've been leading the U.S. in talking to China over the Southeast Asia Sea conflicts. I have a question that recently the U.S. and China has come to the mill-to-mill talk. And that's a good thing. Immediately with that, we noticed that China announced that it's inviting other oil companies to explore in the EEZ of Vietnam. Did that come with the diplomacy that you talk at the same time?
I understand the question, ma'am.
Well,
the last I understood
that,
the first
that
part.
Two events happened simultaneously. As the U.S. increased the relationship with China in a good way, having mill-to-mill discussions strategically, China announced that it's inviting all the oil companies to come in and explore and work in the EEZ of Vietnam. Has that been discussed in the talk?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand your question.
How did China get to do that after they talked to you?
Well, look, the only thing I would say is because the intensity of diplomacy in Asia, for instance, Secretary Panetta was just last week and a half ago in Vietnam. So many things happen. I think it's important not to necessarily draw lines that, you know, from one meeting to another outcome. I can assure you that this subject has not been discussed between the United States and China in that context, no.
Cole, Jane's Defense Weekly in Taipei Times in Taiwan. How concerned is Washington of a possible cooperation between Taiwan and China in the South China Sea conflict?
We have had discussions in an unofficial capacity with Taiwan about its position. I think it would be fair to say that they have been very, very careful, both in their public diplomacy and in their private interactions on this issue. I think I'll leave it at that.
Eddie Walsh, I'm a young leader at CSIS. When we talk about the South China Sea, we usually talk about it in the context of Asia-Pacific, but it has bearing on other regions of the world too, especially the Arctic. And as we look to the Arctic and the rules-based order, especially law of the sea as being the predominant way that we deal with issues in the region, you would think that countries like China would benefit from that sort of rules-based order so that they would have a role to play and be able to advance their own interests in the region. When you engage China on these sort of discussions, are you bringing in other regions of the world and using that as sort of leverage in your discussions to try to get them to accept rule of law in the South China Sea?
Well, let me just say that we've had a number of, I think, quite productive sessions on a whole range of issues with Chinese counterparts. And we do have a regular discussion on maritime security with them. We've discussed those issues both in bilateral contexts at the strategic and economic dialogue, in the so-called strategic security dialogue, which is a smaller session that focuses really on areas of potential misunderstanding. And in some of our most recent discussions, Secretary Clinton has gone into great detail to look at other areas, including the Arctic, long-standing areas of discord associated with sovereignty or fishing rights, and explored how issues like the law of the sea and other institutions have been effective. In many of these places, it turns out that it's hard to solve problems, but sometimes those institutions and capabilities and increased dialogues can help you manage hard, enduring problems. I can take two more questions, okay?
Thank you, Secretary. My name is Dong Huiyu with China Review News Agency. What role will the United States play in the upcoming ASEAN Forum in Cambodia to push a solution of South China Sea dispute? Will the United States just reiterate its principle or make the forum as a kind of multilateral arena to pressure China, or will have a quiet diplomacy with China and ASEAN country? Thank you.
Well, look, I would simply say that I think in a number of arenas, quiet diplomacy is quite effective, and we have tried and we will continue to try to apply quiet diplomacy in a number of venues. I believe, as I stated quite clearly, it is the desire of the United States at the ASEAN Regional Forum to quite clearly demonstrate that the United States and China are determined to work together in a productive, substantial way. We believe that part of the discussions that we will have will be on a whole range of security and political issues. I believe that this will be one of the issues that the two ministers will deal with, and it will be the subject of some multilateral discussions as well. I will say that I think the United States has attempted to address these issues with great care, with great precision, and always based on very clear specific principles, and that process, I believe, will continue when we go to Cambodia in less than 10 days.
Hello. My name is Irvin Reeves.
Is that on? Go.
Hello?
Yeah, it's good. Hi, Irvin.
My name is Irvin Reeves, and I'm the CEO at H2 is Fuel. We're a small company, but we have an interest in trying to establish a business foothold in Southeast Asia. How does a small, better-known business get to participate in some of these large trade missions?
You are invited. You give me your card right now, and I'll make sure that you're invited to come to Siem Reap in Cambodia in 2 weeks' time. How about that?
That works for me.
All right. It's so rare that you ever get an applause in one of these things. I think probably now's the time. I'll let me get your card though, sir. Okay, so thank you, Marie.
Yeah. Okay, Kurt. Thank you as always. Thank you very much for coming. You do a great job of trying to explain U.S. policy and helping us understand what you're trying to do, and we appreciate your openness with us. And thanks again for coming.
Thank you.